judgment. He's getting us ready for our judgment in here. The judgment has to first begin at the house of God. It starts in here with us. God will judge this world, and God's working on this ministry. Right now, God's working on this body of Christ ministry, I believe, in a greater way than He's ever worked on them before, to get us ready to just be able to righteously judge and bring. And I'll tell you, the message I talked on Sunday about marriage, it's deeper than just your relationship, but that's where it starts. But there's the church has got to have the proper relationship with God. Has to have a proper relationship with the ministry. The ministry has to have the proper relationship with the church. And as long as we're not where God wants us to be, we're somewhere either on the left or right hand side of the middle, if we'll call the middle perfection. God wants us to come to a place of righteousness. And we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to have to get direction from God, and He's going to have to correct us and direct us, instruct us, judge us. Just remember, all judgment's not bad. And and finally, there was an earthquake after that wind. If I'd have been Elijah, I'd have done exactly what he done. I'd have stayed in the cave. That cave is a picture of the body of Christ. I'm not here. I'm like Sister Fisher. I'm not here on. This is not an option to me. It's not. I don't have an option in this. God called me to this, and I know that I have a vision of what God's doing, and if I don't stay here and stay busy and faithful in this, I'll lose my vision. I know there's a lot of people think they've got a vision. They don't have a vision. They don't have a clue what God's doing today. They may know what He was doing 40 years ago, or I've talked to people in the body that think they know what, they think they're a part of this, but they're not. They don't know what God's doing today. Brother Patton said when he got here, he looked around. He said, I realized there were men sitting next to me that had been here for 40 years, as blind as bats. They didn't know what was going on. But he said, God, somehow or another, just like He stuck a funnel in my brain, and I was soaking all this up. I was getting it. And the Lord is He's talking today. Sometimes you have to wait on Him. I realize that. I know it's hard sometimes to wait and on the Lord. To have patience, work godly patience. To learn how to wait on God and let Him work in our lives and let Him show His wisdom, what He's saying. Sometimes it takes time. Doesn't seem like God's very quick. I know at times He is, but as a general rule, God's slow to move on things. He likes for you and I to realize what He's doing. And so, if Elijah got to thinking about coming out when the wind started subsiding, I'm sure he felt that earthquake start rumbling. You know, if you're up on a mountain and it's an earthquake and you're in a cave, don't you know you just want to hunker down somewhere? Just say, Brother Daniels, I'm staying right here. I'm not going anywhere till this is over. And there is, Paul said in Hebrews, he said, God is going to shake everything that can be shaken. Before this is over with, He's going to shake everything that can be shaken, so that that cannot be shaken will remain. And my prayer is, God, let me remain when the shaking is over with. When you know, whatever God has to take the world through. God's going to shake this world because He loves people. He wants to save people. And, you know, God didn't bring an ultimate judgment right there. I think we're looking for a judgment. I do believe that America's going to, I think America will go down in judgment, but not right now. I think America will yet recover and rise to the highest height of military, financial, civil, and religious power that the country has ever had as far as the world's concerned, as far as the influence on the world. It'll never be as powerful as it's ever been when it comes to morals and principles. It's lost that. But I think God will take this nation down in judgment, but it'll be a little later. There's still several years, I think, that's going to transpire before God's judgment comes on America. There's still time. I would encourage all of you, get out of debt. Get out of debt and learn to live on however much money you make. If you get out of debt, don't get in debt. Don't get back in debt. Cut your credit cards up and at least pay them off every month. Don't get hooked up on anything you're in debt for if you can. Learn, study on that. I need to work on that some myself, but it's in my plans to be totally debt-free. What's that guy's name, Sister Inez? We're Dave Ramsey. Yeah, well, he's got some good words. He can help you. If you're not doing nothing and you're in debt, well, it'd be a good start to listen to that guy. And then there was a fire after the earthquake. And fire finally... the Bible uses fire as judgment. It's a purging element that it's destructive, but it purges, and I'm sure God is going to. He's going to bring judgment on this world before the 10 kings can take over America. Something's got to happen before 10 kings. Right now, the way I'm looking at the 10 kings is I'm still looking at the United Nations for that. They 10 in the Bible represents judgment. And I don't see any other judgment seat in the world that could take over if America went down other than the UN. That's how all the nations look to the UN for international law. And so it's already set up, but there could be some changes between now and there, and that's why I'm still reserving what the formation of the 10 kings. I don't think that's literal 10 kings that don't have a kingdom as yet, but it's a number of a judgment seat of civil power. And they've got to come into power, and so something will have to have happened to America to bring it down as a world power for that to come about. But then, after the fire, there was a still small voice. And when Elijah heard that, he said, "Lord, here am I." And somehow Elijah knew that God wasn't in all of those elements that was taking place there on that mountain. You stop and think about it. You think about him. Here's a man of God goes up on the mountain because an angel told him to go. And he gets up there and the wind gets to blow so hard that it's breaking rocks. He must have peeked out the opening of the cave or something to know that, either that or when it's all over and he walked out and saw big old rocks broke up all over the mountain. Somehow he knew that that was pretty devastating. But I'd say if he was in that cave up there, somehow he knew there's something bad going on outside. And then an earthquake. All this takes place, this guy in this cave. Think about God doing this. Just and having it wrote down in the Bible. And then a fire. I don't know. Was lightning or just hell, what do you call it? Fire and brimstone falling out of the sky. It began to be a destruction there on that mountain. I'll tell you, saints, I want to be right here in the body of Christ in a place of safety when all this stuff's taking place. There's a place where you can be covered of God. You can be in God's protection. He watch over and protect you and carry us through this, like Brother Michael Song was saying. But when Elijah heard that still small voice, he knew that was God. And I want to, you know, Jesus said in the 10th chapter of St. John, he said, "My sheep know my voice, and another voice they will not hear." You know, I've met a lot of people, and they've came to me and said, "Where is God in this?" I've had people, you know, ask me different things. And myself, I've had to several times wait to try to locate God. But I have found out He can be found. You can hear God's voice. He will talk to you. And He said, "My sheep." He said, "Other sheep have I. Them I must bring also," speaking of the Gentiles. But He said that they know my voice, or they hear my voice. And He said, "I know them." And what's it saying? They follow me. Well, I want to, during all of this, God, if you'll just be still, God's going to speak in a little while. Of course, what He told Elijah was, He told him, He gave him the judgment for the end of that time or that era, even for his life. He told him to anoint Elisha to work in his office. If you ever get this little story and get the types of it down, you'll always know when you're talking, if you're talking about Elijah or Elisha, because you'll know what Elisha did and what Elijah did. But I remember when the Lord gave me this message, I was telling Brother Liniger about, and I was telling him about Elijah anointing Elisha. And I said, and at that time, I said, "That's us, Elisha." Brother Liniger, I can tell you where we was. We was in Motel, what was the name of that motel? Montana. The Montana Motel up on top of the hill in Haiti. And I was in my bed and he was in his bed. And I was telling him this story. And he sat right up in bed and looked over there at me. And he's really listening to me. And then he said, "I'm sorry, Brother Smith, but that ain't right." I said, "How do you know it ain't right? Listen to me." He said, "I am listening to you, but that ain't right." I said, "What ain't right about it?" He said, "Well," and this is what he told me. It's kind of amazing, I thought. I never will forget some of my experiences with him. He said, "I think you got every bit of that right, all the way up to Elisha." But he said, "Elisha is not us." He said, "Elisha is a Jewish ministry down through the 1,000 years. I said, "How do you know that?" He said, "Well, I've never talked on that. I've never even talked on what you're talking on. That's something God's gave you." But he said, "That's right." But he said, "I heard a man talk on Elisha one time, and when he said that, the Holy Ghost told me that's right." He said, "That's how I know you're wrong, because I know what's right." I just threw my hands up. You know. I said, How does that make you right? He said, I don't know how to explain it to you, Brother Smith, but I know when God tells me something, it's right. Well, I found out he's right. He was right about that. That aggravated me, and I wanted to make that right so bad. I wanted him to know I was right and he was wrong. And I went home and I studied on that some more, and I said, God, does Brother Leninger know what he's talking about? I said, how? And I knew I was hung up right there. I got that far with it and I couldn't do any more with it. And I began to pray and I finally got neutral. And when I did, God opened that up to me and I saw how a Jewish ministry would carry this on after this judgment took place, and God began to help me to see it. I went back and gave it to Brother. He said, now you got it right. I thought, well, thanks a lot. You know, I give you the whole story and you give me this one little part, and it ain't none of it right till I get that right. Now it's right. He said, yeah, and if you don't preach it, I'm going to. He used to tell me, I used to give him revelations I'd get. He said, you need to preach that. And he said, if you don't, I will. I remember one time at the campground, he met me at the back door, you know, right there at the platform. He walked up there, you know, just about like Brother Ty. He walks off there. You know, he always had his chest pooched way out. That's Brother Leninger. He walked like this. Had that one hand, you know. He walked up to me just like he owned the world. He said, Brother Smith, you going to preach in this meeting? I said, well, I've got one thing on my mind. I've been thinking about talking. He said, what is it? I told him. He said, let me talk on that. It was my revelation. He said, I can explain that in a way that the brethren will get it. Like I couldn't. Well, neither one of us talked on it, so it was God wasn't in that. He was wrong about that. Anyway, but there's a small, still voice of God. Hallelujah. Saints, get to know Him. Get close to Him. Get to where you know His voice. Ask Him. Say, God, let me know. Help me to know Your voice. I don't want to follow any other voice. I don't want another voice leading me. There's a lot of voices in the land, and even in the body of Jesus Christ. I was telling somebody just recently, I said, look, there's some people are concerned about all the different things that are being done and said in this among this body of people. I remember when I first came to some meetings and I sat and watched these men. And one of them would get up and talk on something, and I'd think, man, that's how that is. A little while, another guy would get up, and he'd come totally against that. And when he'd be talking, I'd think, man, this guy's right. That guy was wrong. And then I'd leave there wonder how it is. You know, these guys, both of them presented a good case, and both of them had convinced me. Well, you know, God has called us to something great, and He's opening up a door to all of God's people. And right now, we're bringing God's people in from a wide spectrum, from the most strictest holiness Pentecostal people, rigid in their thinking and stern in their ways, and they can find a place in here. All the way across the spectrum to the loosest thinking charismatics that are hungry for God, and they don't know, you know, they don't know anything about that side of things, and God brings them both in here and begins to blend and mix their spirits together. But what I've always found is there's a general brotherhood that they're in the center of the road. They're more down the mainstream. They're not extreme to the right or the left, but they're They're holding a balance to these things. They see what God's doing. They see the extremes, but they know that there's a balance to them. And there's a safe place. I watched that, and I thought, God, those men, I'm going to watch those men that are balanced, that seem to have a greater balance. They're not out on the outer edges or on the extremes. We have to make room for those people because they've got to come in here and find the balance. God is, He's merciful. He's long-suffering. He's gentle. He's kind. He's patient. He's patiently waiting for the fruit, the precious fruit of the early and latter rain. I really believe, I may talk on this sometime, we've always taught that that was talking about the early church and the latter church. But I really believe that the early church had an early and latter rain. There was a harvest for the two rains, of the fall and spring rains. And there's a harvest time that God is patient and waits for that harvest to take place. I think that's what Peter was talking about. And there's a patient God waiting for the precious fruit of the early and latter rain, or the harvest of the end of the Gentile world. That point that I'm making is not as important as understanding that God is patient and He's waiting for the fruit. He's waiting for a harvest of the fruit of the earth. God's been working for many years to bring the restoration of the church to the place we are today. And we may not feel like, you might feel like, man, there seems like to me there's a lot got to happen for us to, you know, for this restoration of the church. And let me just throw something at you, so to speak. How ready do you think the Jewish world was when Jesus stepped out in Jordan with John? Man, look at the condition they was in. You wouldn't think that that was a time that God was ready to bring the Messiah into this world. Even on the day of Pentecost, there was just 120, and there was still a religious system that was in a wreck. They was off in a wreck, it seemed to be. But the world was in a condition that God could manifest Himself to the church and they'd get it. And He knew it. I'm just telling you, God is getting ready to manifest Himself to this world. And He's given you and I an opportunity to get in on the first fruits of it. You can't find very many people doing what we're doing tonight. You can bring people into any kind of church out here just about. But if you bring them in here, you can get them in just about anything out there, and it can be oriented in a way that they'll stay. But I'm going to tell you something. You won't stay in this. If you don't get a vision of it, if God don't touch your mind and your heart, and you don't get a vision of the body of Christ, you won't stay in this. Because this is serious in here. This here, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill your old man. But you're going to get a new one out of it. this here, you know, this is the place that separates the boys from the men, from the boys, and the girl women from the girls. This will make you grow up. But God, his little still small voice. Isn't it amazing how God talks to us? Can't you remember the times that God talked to you? Don't you remember how still it was? Don't you remember how it just came? It just came. It wasn't any elaborate thing, but you might have been getting a blessing when God spoke to you. But a lot of times He speaks to us and we look back and say, that's it. That's what God said right there. That was the Lord. There's other times God's talked to us and He put something in our heart so strong that nobody can take it away from us. Nobody can tell us that wasn't God. And so he even told him, he said, I want you to anoint Elisha to take your office and anoint Hazael to as king over Israel. Somebody get that for me. Over Syria. And Jehu over Israel. Yeah, but he was to anoint Jehu. See, he took Israel. He wasn't in line for it, but he was anointed to take it. God chose him for that. So God gave him right there in that mountain. And that, I say, when the church is restored, God's going to give us the judgment that's going to finish the work of God in this earth. There's going to be judgment in this earth, and it's going to come in the church. It's going to come through the church. But there's going to have to be those that hears God's voice and will be still and wait on God while all this other's going on. So I'm just telling you tonight, you're in a safe place. You're in a good place. Keep serving God. Don't look at the things of this world. Don't let them get you down. God will take care of you. He'll take care of you. I'll promise you that. If you'll serve Him and be faithful to God, He'll be faithful to you. He'll meet your needs. It may not all be according to the way you want it, but when you look back, you'll say that God knew what He was doing. God knew. He knew my case, and He knew what He was doing. I haven't looked back yet at what I didn't say. I wouldn't change nothing that God's brought me through. I'm not saying I couldn't have done better, but because I was where I was, God brought me to where I am, He brought me through the things that I needed to go through to be where I'm at. And He's kept me. I'm thankful for that tonight. Hallelujah. Hold on to God. Don't waver. Let the Lord, it's one of the things that I've done. When you don't know what to do, don't make any radical decisions. I've had people tell me things, I'm just totally off the wall. People going through things, they just decide something, and somebody tell me something, and I just look at them. And I said, that ain't God. I'd say that ain't got nothing to do with God. You're not doing anything. You're making a decision when you ought not be doing nothing. You ought to just be still and wait and let God. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's not a good time to try to make decisions when you're going through rough trials. Just hold steady and serve God and wait on Him to lead you and give you direction. Hallelujah. I'm encouraged tonight. I feel like I found the cave up on top Mount Horeb. There's things going on, but it's God's not in it. He's not in all this out here. That's not for the church. It's God's dealing with the world, but it's not for the church. He's got us in a safe place. In a little while, He's going to speak. When He does, we'll say, oh, that's the voice of God. We hadn't known what the Lord was going to do while all this other was going on, but now we're hearing the voice of God. Hallelujah. So be patient. Wait on God. Wait on Him to direct you. I think you can use these things for yourself. If you're going through a storm, if you're going through a fiery trial, if you're going through something that's shaking you, just be still. Just say, God, I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here in the body of Christ in this safe place. A little while the Lord will speak and you'll say, yes, Lord. And you'll feel like the Lord showed you what to do. That's I've been going through a little trial. It hadn't been anything that I needed to tell anybody about necessarily, but I've been going through a trial. But yesterday, I sat down And I said, God, what is this all about? I've not been able to locate you in all this. I've just looked at it. Maybe it's just all natural things, but I've come to the conclusion that I'm your child, and there's too much of this going on for it to just be natural coincidence. I said, I feel like you ought to be covering me more. Since you're not, I'm asking you what this is all about. And then I got quiet, and the Lord started dealing with me. And I said, yes, that makes sense, Lord. That makes sense. God began to talk to my heart. I'm glad God can talk to his children. Hallelujah. So hold on. Hold on to his sweet love. Hallelujah. Keep holding on. Can we sing that? Somebody know that? Holding on. I don't know. That's just something came to my mind. I just said, let's. Did we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young people are getting ready for the youth meeting coming up in July. I'm trying to work out a way where I can be here for at least most of it. I want to see the Lord touch our young people. I appreciate what God's working in their hearts and lives right now. You young people, get a hold of God and don't, listen to the Holy Ghost. Right now is a good time for y'all to be listening when the Holy Ghost convicts you of something. You might be doing it, might not be a sin, but it might be. Let me say something to y'all about this while they're getting ready. I want to say something to y'all about this Facebook deal. I got a Facebook. It don't mean much to me because I don't ever put nothing on there, so I don't guess what you reap. If you don't sow, you ain't going to reap anything, so I don't put anything on there. Nothing comes back, hardly. All I get is people says, this guy wants to be your friend. I just punch good, confirm it. I need all of them I can get. That's all I do with it. I just add friends, but ain't none of them got their love to me, so I don't know if it works or not. Let me tell y'all something about this Facebook. I think in a way it's a damnable thing. And the reason I do, I told somebody today, I said it's like Seinfeld. Anybody ever watch Seinfeld? You never watched it ever? Well, what Seinfeld is about on TV is nothing. It's just four people about nothing. I mean, if you ever watch it, the only thing you'll get out of it is you might laugh, but when you're done, you just lost 30 minutes and you won't know nothing any better than you knew before you started. It's about nothing. And that's a lot about what Facebook's about. You spend your day glued to all of that. Let me tell you what it does. It fills you with information from around the world that you don't need to know about. You don't need to be focusing on everybody's problems 14 states away and all over the world and everything that's going on and everybody's thoughts about everything. It's nothing. And I don't think we need our minds. That's one of the things television does in the news. It fills you up with international problems and situations all over the world. We can't do nothing about what's going on in Tibetan or wherever, Dahu or any of them other places. We can't do nothing about that. We don't need to be worrying about it either. It's not our worry. What we can do something about is our relationship with Jesus Christ and our brothers and sisters right here locally. Don't stick your head in that Facebook deal where it's taking up hours of your everyday and it don't mean nothing. It's all right to, check up on somebody or somebody to contact you on it, but I think it's getting overdone, grossly overdone. I think it's a better deal than MySpace. And I don't even know what Twitter is. I just know how to say it. So I might be against that too, but it probably. well, this Facebook deal is just about as bad. You know, it misguides, misleads, because people put stuff on there that they ought not be telling nobody. Looked like to me. Anyway, that's my two cents on that. You kids, be careful with that stuff. Don't be doing that. Staying hung up on that all day, keeping up with ever Tom, Dick, and Harry and what they're doing. You know, it is gossip. That's just about what it is. And I think it can be hurtful for us to get too hung up in that stuff. I'm not saying you ought to, you know, throw the baby out with the wash, but get rid of the wash anyway. Anyway, that's my sense on it. Sang us a song. Get me down from here.
What good is faith to believe today if you let tomorrow take your trust away? Keep your eyes on Christ and you'll grow in grace. Then someday you'll see His face. So let's keep holding on to His sweet love. Always holding on to His sweet love. Sheltered from all harm in His loving arms. Let's keep holding on to Him. I knew a man walking on the sea, made of flesh and blood, just like you and me. He lost his faith for a moment, then he cried for Christ and he rose again. So let's keep holding on to His sweet love. Always holding on to His sweet love. Sheltered from all harm in His loving arms. Let's keep holding on to Him. So living in this old world of sin, don't give up, for we shall rise again. Christ died so He could deliver men. So let's reach out and take His hand. So let's keep holding on to His sweet love. Always holding on to His sweet love. Sheltered from all harm in His loving arms. Let's keep holding on to Him. What good is faith to believe today if you let tomorrow take our trust away? Keep your eyes on Christ and you'll grow in grace, and someday you'll see His face. So let's keep holding on to His sweet love. Always holding on to His sweet love. Sheltered from all. Let's keep holding on to Him. I knew always holding on to His sweet love. Sheltered from harm in His loving arms. Let's keep holding on to Him. I knew a man walking on the sea, made of flesh and blood, just like you and me. He lost his faith for a moment, then he cried for Christ and he rose again. So let's keep holding on to His sweet love. Always holding on to His sweet love. Sheltered from all harm in His loving arms. Let's keep holding on to Him. So living in this old world of sin, don't give up, for we shall rise again. Christ died so He could deliver men. So let's reach out and take His hand. So let's keep holding on to His sweet love. Always holding on to His sweet love. Sheltered from all harm in His loving arms. Let's keep holding on to Him. So let's keep holding on to His sweet love. All always holding on to his sweet love, sheltered from all harm in his loving arms. Let's keep holding on to him. So let's keep holding on to his sweet love, always holding on. Holding on to him. What good is faith to believe today if you let tomorrow take your trust away? Keep your eyes on Christ and you'll grow in grace, and someday you'll see his face. So let's keep holding on to his sweet love, always holding on. Sheltered from all harm in his loving arms, let's keep holding on to him. So let's keep holding on to his sweet love, always holding on to his sweet love. Sheltered from all harm in his loving arms, let's keep holding.
Praise God. All right. Shake hands and be friendly. I'll see you Sunday.